Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Full program today. As always, if you want to reach me, you certainly may. Red Sky Radio at 777. Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. Boy, there's just so much going on. I don't know. It just is amazing. I am going to pick up, though, this today with a little bit of a piece from last week, which we talked about the issue of Trump and the Panama Canal, Trump and Canada, and Trump dealing with Greenland. I want to tell you, I am a big fan of buying Greenland. I don't care what the price is. Well, I do, but $20 billion for Greenland, $60 billion every 2 months for Ukraine. Duh, that's an easy one. We would be a better ally of NATO owning Greenland. Canada, no. As it is often said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. We kind of have to keep an eye on them. I don't want them as a 51st state. And the Panama Canal, goodness sakes, you can't go back on your word. Our word, you know, is $1 and a 100-year lease for the Panama Canal. But we shouldn't have done that. And if we have to buy it back, we have to buy it back. And I had some other things. But this news about Greenland, it comes from Greenland. And that is a majority of Greenlanders now support joining the U.S. Now, keep in mind, they wouldn't be, or at least I don't think they would be, the 51st state, and they shouldn't be. They probably should be more like Guam and Puerto Rico, U.S. territories, but not states. We give them the representation they need, which would be, I think they get a person in Congress who can't vote, but's there to represent and have the input and share thoughts and so forth from people from Greenland, Guam, Puerto Rico, you name it. And they'll certainly have traveling advantages, not needing visas and so forth to come to the United States. But this is a great move. This is just so Trump. I know I shared it last week, but now the fact that the first poll is out, the first poll of just Greenlanders. We're not talking about people who, you know, a poll taken of people throughout the United States wondering whether we should buy it. Whatever it is, it's a great investment. There are minerals, there are critical elements believed to be underneath the enormous expanse of Greenland, which we now have to buy from China. So this is a self-defense and independence-related acquisition. We further secure our independence without being further dependent upon countries for natural resources that hate us. So there you go. There's your good news for the day. Besides the word of God, gosh, and I do, I love that. This is just something that I am stunned at the way people think. You know, I've mentioned this before, that while Scripture talks about the reprobate mind, and that's in the context of Romans chapter 1, where men and women start out as heterosexuals and they end up homosexual. And it goes on to say that this is a feature, not that that's the exclusive definition or representation of a reprobate mind. But those that end up in that have one. And you can't read that passage any other way. In fact, it's the second half of that chapter. But the fact is, the reprobate mind, the longer I live, the more I absolutely believe It touches every element of the cerebral cortex, the brain, and all of that. All the stuff upstairs. It's the inability to rationally think, and you're going to hear more about this a little bit later today, is kind of summed up by these everyday actions by corporations. It isn't just leftists, although I think those in the corporations are leftists that are making some decisions that defy common sense. And this one is that Walgreens, because of the theft, well, I got to do it the other way around here. Walgreens has come out and says, their CEO, Tim Wentworth, has come out and said that locking up products to protect the store from shoplifting is hurting sales. Well, duh, I guess. That it also hurting shoplifters, isn't it? I understand what they're saying. If something is all locked up and you have to ask a clerk for the key and the clerk is busy with somebody else and you got to wait around just to buy something that normally did not require that protocol, that would be irksome to some extent to some people, and they're going to get up and go to CVS or some other place that are being ripped blind but want to make it very easy for sales to occur at the price of making it really easy for shoplifters. So if the thought of having to protect your store from shoplifters means that you're hurting sales, have we even considered the concept of hurting shoplifting in that? Well, this becomes more tragic in the lack of critical thinking by the fact that Walgreens, I think, has announced in 2025 the closure of 27 stores. And that's primarily due to retail theft, which they call retail shrink. Our sales are shrinking. Well, why? Because people are stealing. Well, we don't want to call it stealing and theft. We'll call it shrink. Honey, I shrunk our inventory. I mean, so if 25 or 27 stores, I just forgot which one was the number, are closing now because of retail theft, they're no longer profitable. Retail theft is sinking them. Doesn't that just sort of say that the shoplifting impact is greater than the loss of sales impact? I mean, could we ask the fair question that how are your sales impacted in the 25 or 27 stores that you've closed due to shoplifting? Well, that's an easy one. The sales have dropped to zero. Revenue hit scratch. It's nothing. You got no sales because the store is closed, and yet they're trying to say that maybe we should be more accommodating of some retail theft because it might increase our sales. I don't know. This is just sort of kind of one of these things where I'm just baffled. It's not like I'm the smartest guy in the world. I am not. Ask my wife. She'll fill you in on the details. No, there are some things that I tend to be kind of clueless about. But this the woke mentality, which I am going to equate for the purposes of this program with a reprobate mind, really affects so much of what one does and interacts when you have that mindset. And I'm going to show you another case here today, which you've probably read about, but I'm going to bring an insight which is not in print. And the only reason that I'm bringing it up, because the left isn't just unhinged about things political and unhinged about things that are religious. It now affects sports, and the left is unhinged as it relates to sports. Why? Well, I guess because if you have a reprobate mind, you're unhinged. You don't say, well, you know what? These are the things I'm going to be unhinged about. And then I'm going to put my reprobate mind on the shelf and I'm going to pull out my rational thought brain and we're going to deal with these other things. But after that, we're going to go back to the things that I am going to be unhinged. No. If you have a reprobate mind, you don't parse things that way. If you are messed up, you're messed up across the board. I would have no more confidence going to a financial advisor who's in the woke world and is into ESG and DEI and all these things about, and we want to put the money with BlackRock because they're into dealing with climate change. Why would I, if that broker, financial broker, is so lost and gone on that, why would I be with him? Why would I put the money I've earned, why would I invest it in somebody who's bananas? Doesn't know on all areas and in all areas of critical thinking. So what other, this area that it's now infected is sports. But I'm going to bring it to you from a little different angle because most of you, not most of you, I shouldn't assume that what I do, most people do, but I did watch the Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay Packers game. We have a little family pool. The winner gets only bragging rights. Nobody wants to lose money, even if it's 2 cents a pick. We just don't do that. We don't gamble in any way, shape, or form, but I'm not here to get on a soapbox about that. Just saying, but in that, I picked the Packers. And why? For one reason. I don't particularly like the Philadelphia Eagles. Although I have been researching Lamar Jackson and the extent and to the extent that this man loves the Lord, and it's considerable. And where he witnesses and he testifies and giving God glory and things. I'll tell you, it made it a lot easier to see the Eagles win. And at times I thought, all right, they're going to win. I know why they're going to win. Because God's going to give a platform to Lamar Jackson and maybe some other players. You see, it says in 1 Samuel that those that exalt God, those people, God will exalt. I mean, when you heard Will Howard, the quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes, the Ohio State University, okay, I'm a Michigan fan, but I have to tell you, I get a kick out of people from Ohio State saying the Ohio State University. And my wife just gets tickled. She laughs every time she hears that. She grew up in the West Coast and not familiar with that Midwestern stuff. But anyway, Will Howard gets after the, what was that, the Cotton Bowl they were in, I think. I think it was a Cotton Bowl. Anyway, he gives all the glory to God after the game. I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Emil Egbuka, I'm not sure I'm saying his name right, but he's a receiver for the Buckeyes. He's been preaching on the Ohio State campus. There are other players on the team. They're holding kind of rallies. I saw a picture of them baptizing Ohio State students that came forward to accept the Lord, and this is being done by the football team. This is why, now don't get me wrong, I'm glad Michigan beat them, but I'm also glad it's a good year. Michigan beats Ohio State, but if Ohio State goes to the finals and wins, which I absolutely think they will, because they have too many people ready to give God the glory, then this worked out the way it's supposed to. God will exalt those who exalt him. It's not a promise, but it could happen, and I think it will. So when the DEI, I'm sorry, when the left... leftist thinking, the reprobate mind, makes its way into sports. It's in new territory, but it shows you that the reprobate mind cannot be confined to categories. And the example here, which you do know about, and I've taken too long to get around it, is the Philadelphia Eagles fan of a viral video where he is just tossing these vicious, abusive comments at a female Green Bay Packers fan. And he's defending himself later on because he got fired. This went viral. People recognized who he was, traced him back to his employment. He got fired as he should have been and is, and now is also barred for life from the Philadelphia football field. I think it's Lincoln Field. And he just abused this woman big time. I mean, it was just incredible what he said to her. And yeah, he supposedly apologized, but it was an apology with he hid sort of. He ended up saying, yes, I apologize, I should have done this, but I was provoked. So when somebody introduces the word but and B-U-T, not B-U-T-T, into a sentence, you can pretty much disregard everything that precedes the but and only pay attention to that which follows the but. Now, don't take that too literally about following the but. I'm sorry about that, but this is what I mean, is that the real thing that the person is trying to say is not the beginning of what they said. It's the excuse they make after the but, and he says he was provoked. This is where this gets juicy. The man was just hurling these insults. He started to tell the Green Bay Packer fan she was so ugly, and oh my gosh, it's horrible, and I don't even want to repeat it. So he's banned from the stands forever, but he also got fired from his job. And what was that job? He works for a consulting firm for DEI. This guy has a diversity and inclusion moniker over his job title. He's into diversity. He's into inclusion. And what this reflects is the fact that the left can't handle anyone who disagrees with them about anything. It is an attitude of hatred. They're fully defiled, and it is a reprobate mind. This woman sat there with a Green Bay Packer hat, largely stoic. She didn't want to cause a ruckus. She knows that she's in the other team's stadium. And this guy just goes bonkers and calling her names and the insults he's hurling. And this is a guy who's into diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, that's real diverse. That's real equitable. That's real inclusive. To just shred somebody from my point isn't about the sports thing. It's just that it's the to the extent that the left is involved in sports, then wokeism and leftism has infected sports. And he was a classic example. He can't even leave the DEI crap at his office. He's got to export it into an entertainment and recreational environment. Well, all right, maybe I made too much of that, but my point simply is that this is part and parcel of what we are dealing with today that we did not have to deal with relatively short period of time, certainly not when I was growing up. I mean, I think about the debate between Ronald Reagan and, gosh, I drew a blank on his name. Oh, sorry about Walter Mondale. Okay. And the debate, there's a few clips of the debate. It was never heated. It was collegial. And when Reagan laid down that zinger that because of his age, you know, there was some concern whether he could properly run the country, but he comes back and says that he promised that he would never make an issue out of his opponent's youth and inexperience. And Mondale cracked up. And Mondale's campaign manager, who I don't recall who that was, offstage just said, well, we're toast. We just lost. But the fact of the matter is it was rather collegial, if that's the right word. There was a civility that we don't have. The left has gone from being wrong to being in some cases flat-out demon-possessed. How else could anyone explain the vitriol, the vindictiveness that's being hurled against Barack Obama for not only talking with Trump at Carter's funeral, but genuinely laughing? It wasn't a smile. He's got a good hearty chuckle going over something Trump said that genuinely, they're saying, how can he be friends? How could he possibly? Well, maybe it's because regardless of what you think of any of the presidents, they're occupying the highest office in the land in the most powerful country in the world. Pretty heady situation. It's a pretty elite group. They're up there in the rarefied air of politicians. And so they share some things. I mean, whether it's George Bush giving the belly tap to Obama. I mean, I don't know what that is about. Nobody can figure it out. But I think Bush wasn't the issue. It was how on earth could Barack Obama enjoy a funny moment with Donald Trump? Well, they don't really care for each other. But you know what? Neither do football teams care for their opposition. And in some case, it's pretty nasty. It's pretty ugly on the field. And when it's all done, they're going around and they're doing the hugging and the shaking afterwards. Shaking hands and hugging each other, even though it was at times nasty out on the field. And we have lost that. The fact that I have no problem with Donald Trump sharing a light moment with Barack Obama. He's going to be president sworn in here in a couple of days. You don't need to make more enemies, and if he wins some people over, even though they don't share the same values, that's not necessarily a bad thing. If Trump is true to his convictions and yet still had a friendship of some sort with Barack Obama, I think that would be fine. I mean, you couldn't have had two Supreme Court justices that were farther apart politically, religiously, and every way possible than Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Antonin Scalia. You want to know how far right you can get? That was Antonin. You want to know how far left you can get? That was Ruth Bader, baby. And yet, they had the best of friendship. I think they played chess. I could be wrong. There was something that they did that was semi-recreational, and chess sort of comes to my mind, but I could be wrong on that. But they would have coffee, they would chat about things, they wouldn't be discussing the cases, but they liked each other, even though they were decidedly light years apart on the issues, critical issues, I should add. But for this little interaction with Trump and Obama, I don't see that. The rank and file of the left, the so-called progressives, which aren't progressive, they're regressive because they want to go back to child sacrifice, go back to where nobody can be armed, go back to where you could have sodomy on demand, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Progressives are, I don't use the word, unless it's in its truest context, I only use the word regressive because everyone that calls themselves progressive are in fact entirely and decidedly and abysmally regressive. But there are families that don't share Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner because why? Because the conservatives won't have dinner with the left. No, the left doesn't want to hang around with anybody they consider to be so stupid as to have voted for Donald Trump. And of course, we have that because of the mainstream media and flaming and gaslighting anybody and everybody that they can, and the university's so-called institutions of higher learning, which, frankly, they crawl around on their belly like reptiles. That's how low they are. And I'm thrilled to see college matriculation going down decidedly. Why pay for something that's worthless? And you're not going to have Donald Trump to cancel the student loan debts for 4 years. But the fact is that we have gone downhill as a society. The civility is a word that's only used now in other countries for the most part. And it's the left that decidedly hates anything associated with Donald Trump because they have been influenced, intoxicated with a venom and a hatred for anything that's godly, anything that's righteous, anything that's, and they associate those things with Trump because he says he's a Christian and he has the Trump Bible and so forth. So anyway, I think you got my point. It's a reprobate mind that we are faced with, having to deal with these days. Not the reprobate mind of a Walter Mondale, because he didn't have one. Yeah, I disagreed with him on certain key things, like Hubert Humphrey. Please his punch, Hubert Humphrey, the Democrats of old. What did they stand for, largely? They were less inclined to be in war. Republicans were more inclined to be in war. That has totally switched. But that by itself is not a make it or break it moral issue that trumps all other things. The left, the leaning left, left didn't mean what it does now, but the Democrats were pro-labor. And there's some abuses by capitalists that justify the creation of unions. I don't have a general problem. I have a problem with government unions, but private unions, I have no problem with it at all. If they want to strike, they go strike. Then maybe they're out of a job. You reap what you sow, or maybe there's been some unfairness. Those were the issues until you got to abortion. And there were a gazillion Democrats in 1973 that were against abortion. And why? Because historically, Catholics voted Democrat. And Catholics were adamantly pro-life. Not the case today. By no means. Not even close. The left would never have supported queer marriage. In fact, it was a somewhat liberal Supreme Court in 1976 that said, well, of course you can limit and have laws against sodomy and homosexuality, because everybody knows it's an abhorrent behavior. It was 1976. But the left got hijacked by apparently the devil himself, and they just are screaming towards hell. Now, I want to shift over here to Joe Biden a minute because we don't have much time, not many days left, that I can feel justified in beating the snot out of the guy because he deserves it and he has a lot in him. I mean, his going away speech was his magnum opus. It's his great work of deceit and of lying and just brain dead, reprobate mind. Joe Biden has a reprobate mind. I have no question about I'm not here to judge, but I have no question about what Joe's going to hell. There's nothing in him that reflects a godly attitude or that he's given his heart to the Lord. You cannot say what he says. Goodness sakes, the way he takes the Lord's name in vain. Holy moly. All the time. But I'm going to go into just a little bit of his farewell speech because we need, now that he's headed to the political graveyard, it is okay and it is time to pick up a shovel and start throwing the dirt on him. Yes, he's going away to Delaware soon. And maybe he'll just pass away quietly on the beach while thinking that he's in Yugoslavia or who knows what. But don't go away. We'll be right back. Robin Walter, The Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Ah, thank you, Alan Jackson, for that song. Wish I had his voice. Well, I got the voice God gave me, so it is what it is, you guys. Any case, I love that piece, and I just have a little softer bit in my heart today. And maybe it is because we're just coming to an end of a diabolical regime. And this is the last shovel load of dirt we need to put on Biden, because he's going to be gone. And I'm thrilled that he's gone. You should be thrilled that he's gone, that the influence on this country has been nothing but horrific, and he is the worst president ever in the history of the United States. I used to say he was the worst, most modern-day president. He's the absolute worst. Nobody has lied like him. Nobody's been more immoral. Nobody sits around and says GD and F-bombs and talks like he spends the night communing with Satan. The guy is just a goner. But in his speech, like I said, his magnum opus here, his great work, his great going away speech, it was filled with whoppers. There wasn't a single bit of truth in it. And I want to say that everything he said that needed to be changed in this country were all the things that he was guilty of pushing. And I don't want to pick the speech apart. The time is too valuable for that. But when he was warning about dark money, this dark money is dangerous. And you know who he's talking about? First of all, it isn't dark money. He's talking about Elon Musk and the money that he put into Trump's campaign. Well, that wasn't dark. Musk talked about it. Musk made it a very public thing. The dark money has never existed. Well, it does to some extent, I suppose, on the Republican side. I'll tell you who the dark money has been. It's been Mark Zuckerberg in 2020, which now sees his maybe some of his net worth going down, so he's chumming up and kissing the gold ring of Donald Trump. But you want to talk about dark money, money that is working in the background, let's talk about George Soros and a whole bunch of his colleagues, giving him the best term possible, that funnel all kinds of money into demonic causes and political races of worthless and contemptible people. And then Joe Biden gives him the Medal of Freedom, the guy who spent hundreds of millions on destroying this country and undermining the social and Christian fabric. Joe gives him the Medal of Freedom. Who would do that? Well, Satan would, right? I think that's what, if Satan were, would the Antichrist, you know what? Okay, I got to back off from that. I got to keep moving along here. But he went on to talk about the necessity of paying a fair share of taxes, of the wealthy people paying fair share of taxes. Does he not remember that he just got done pardoning his son, wealthy Hunter Biden, and we get stiffed for Hunter's tax bills. So Joe is shooting off his brain-dead brain about needing to pay our fair share of taxes for the wealthy, and yet he has let go. He's pardoned his son, no jail, and no back taxes to pay, so we get to pick him up. So we get to pay, this is what it comes down to, our paying our fair share of taxes means we get to pay Hunter Biden's fair share of the taxes. There's nothing truthful in this man. If he died a natural cause, I would encourage anybody to take action against any political person. Not yet. I'm not to that point. I know that Bonhoeffer is in a plot to kill Hitler, which is why so many people want to kill Trump, is because they think he's Hitler. And why wouldn't you want to kill Hitler? And when, what's her face, Sonny Hostin or Hostin says that the J6 event was worse than the Holocaust. That's a quote. So we have one person that gets killed being directly involved in the J6 event, and it was an unarmed white woman killed by an armed black man, a cop. I only point that out because the reverse is we see it in the news all the time, but it happens the other way around. Only really had one. Murdered, basically. She was murdered. That's the only violence. But somehow J6 is worse than 6 million Jews being executed and a whole bunch of Christians being executed and pastors being executed and anybody who's on the outs with Hitler's regime. J6 is worse than all of the millions of murders by Hitler's regime. Worse than the Holocaust it is. I mean, if I were Jewish, I would write this woman and take her to account for being so... She doesn't even realize she's anti-Semitic. She's saying that the lives of 6 million Jews is worth less than the justice that needs to be implemented for the J6 thing. Do you see the demented mind? Do you see the reprobate mind? This is so phenomenally stupid. That's what a reprobate mind does. It says ridiculously stupid, demented things. They can't process thoughts on the lowest level. That's why I said they walk and talk on their belly like a reptile. They are low. They're as low as they can get. They do not have the faculties for any level of critical thinking. So apparently, Joe only wants, as the leftists say, they only want wealthy conservatives to pay more taxes. Well, this nauseating, elitist, hypocritical bullcrap will at least be done with him and from him. Because when he goes off into the never-never land of political retirement and wherever he's going, he does not have a brain to take with him. And he's abysmally immoral. Do you think anyone in any media environment, left, right, in the middle, whatever, will any one of them ever seek out an interview with Joe Biden? No, absolutely not. Why waste the time? Why be professionally embarrassed, even though they haven't been for the last 4 years, which they should be because they know that he has been a nutcase? No, they're not going to seek him out. They don't want to hear what he says. The only reason they've had to cover him is because he's president. And he's giving a speech that is one more chance from what I think it was Roosevelt that called it the bully pulpit. From the bully pulpit gets to spew his lies and his venom and his stupidity on primetime TV. Because Trump's not going to do that. Well, you could talk to Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. Maybe he might do that. Nancy Pelosi, who wants to hear from her? She's brain dead. I mean, a bullet, if a bullet were to randomly enter Nancy Pelosi's left ear, it's going to emerge from her right ear without any material reduction in velocity. That's a vacuum. It's an airspace. But it's been filled, sort of, I guess, however this works, when you're motivated by and inspired by and filled with demonic thoughts, they got to land somewhere. But it's not in the brain that we would consider a functioning organ of the body. No, not with her. Not with most Democrats. Why? Because she has a reprobate mind. I encourage you to read Romans 1 and get to that passage where it talks about it, and you'll see just how bad it is, and then you can figure out who to whom it applies. I'm going to slip in a little bit of an advertisement here before I go any further, because I mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago that through an interesting series of events, I have picked up my law practice, which I was kind of slowing down, living in Arizona, but licensed in California and Michigan, and I recently got licensed in Arizona. My plate is full right now. I sort of feel like a Mexican restaurant that is newly opened. You go by and there's a gazillion cars, and I'm swamped, so I got a ton of work because people have been waiting for me. Well, go by that restaurant in 2 or 3 weeks, and you'll find out, are they really good tacos or not, and burritos. And if there's nobody there, then it's not that good. If it stays packed, then, hey, it's another great Mexican restaurant. And I wish I could handle hot food better because I love the food. I just, I sweat with ketchup. So anyway, but if you have, and people ask me, well, what is it that you do? Doing some criminal law, but it tends to be contract workouts with people who have disputes with whomever, contractual issues, real estate, a lot of estate planning, wills, trusts, and so forth, which I'm now able to do in 3 states. If you have that need, I'm at redskyradio777@gmail.com. I will put together a very brief ad that I will play in the future, so I don't take up so much time here, so we can get back to the issues at hand. But this is a good story that I'm not going to save till the end. And that was Trump's idea. I do not know how he comes up with this stuff. I mean, it has to be that whether he knows it or not, he's getting downloads from up above. That there's some angelic Holy Spirit transmission that gives him these ideas that nobody is really thinking about, whether it's Panama or jokingly about Canada, but definitely about Greenland. And this one I love, and that is because L.A. has been such horribly run town. They don't deserve the 2028 Olympics. And isn't it time to maybe consider moving the 2028 Olympics to some town that's under more sensible, non-reprobate mind operation, administration, I guess is the word I'm thinking of, a red-run town, a red town, a red city. Award those that would be supportive of this country, wanting to make America great again, and instead of those that want to make L.A. suck, because it does on multiple levels. California sucks, Newsom sucks, Bass sucks. They do. It's a Democrat one-party state that seems to take pride in how quickly it can ruin that state and take the country with it on the road to hell. So, spank LA. I mean, why not? I don't have a problem with that. Honestly, I'm a little bit ticked at how people are so caught up with what celebrities' homes burned. I don't give a rat's rear end which ones burn when they spend more time talking about the celebrities' homes than all the people for whom there's been no pity that lost their homes in the Carolinas due to the hurricane, the two hurricanes, and Florida. Why do we spend so much time about Joe Schmo's celebrity who is a freak on the left and now complaining because everybody he has voted for from Sacramento down to the mayor of L.A. has basically screwed him over with incompetence, bias. I mean, all the money spent on wokeism by the L.A. Fire Department because they were ordered to. Jeez. Hey, get used to fires, you guys. Maybe it's judgment, maybe it isn't. I'm not going to launch back into last week's program. But, as James Madison said, you get the government you deserve. Now, moving on. I think that's a great idea. That's the end of the second good news piece in the second half of the program here. But Whoopi Goldberg is now saying that California should deny paying any money to the federal governments, i.e. cut off your taxes, if future LA wildfire relief has strings attached. Now, Whoopi really belongs in the same line with Nancy Pelosi, waiting for a brain donor. This is just brain death, like I can't believe. She knows nothing about politics, absolutely nothing, but she's making mega millions, shooting her mouth off as some major influencer who actually knows when she doesn't know jack squat crap diddly. Everything Congress does has strings attached. I'm going to take people who are old enough to remember this back to the 70s. When Arizona, the independent, resilient state that it was, and to some extent still is, would not comply with the federal mandate to lower the speed limit on the freeways to conserve gasoline during the Arab oil embargo. I know some of you remember it. Maybe you at least remember reading about it. Arizona said, no, we're going to still drive 80 if we want. And guess what the feds did? The feds said, well, we have this interstate highway money, which we would like to allocate, but we are not going to allocate the money to you, Arizona, unless you reduce your speed limits. Arizona wanted the money. They buckled. My point being, the money came with strings attached. You don't get to do just what you want to do, I guess, because Congress has found a way about paying for the general welfare for everything. They attach strings to money and buy everything. They are taking over and usurping the role of the states. Now, this happens today with a whole bunch of things. Well, you don't get the education money unless you have some LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ crap program where we get to destroy and ruin the minds of our precious young children. Or the tranny stuff, or hospitals. No money for the hospitals here in this state. If you don't allow abortionists to come in there and do their dirty deeds, everything has strings attached. But the point here is that the strings that get attached from the federal government frequently is for to pursue evil deeds, and then they have hand out the money. Well, those states aren't being punished for doing things evil. They're being punished for not being willing to do things evil. Because they're being punished for wanting to do things right, not for doing things evil. They don't get punished for it. But LA is going to get punished for doing things bad, wicked, evil, and frankly, stupid, immoral. There's not even any comparison here. Oh, man. California, you just get to eat this. You ought to be able to. You got the California Fair Plan that's going to pay a tons of money. All the insurance companies that will pay out money, which amounts to about 2.8% of their reserve. Do you know that? $20 billion is only about 2.8% of the reserve of the insurance companies doing business in California. They got plenty of money. They're going to raise my rates maybe in Arizona to cover the losses they have to pay in California, but I'll find a company that doesn't do business there so I don't have to subsidize the LA stupidity. No. And people seem to probably don't remember this. Obama reduced aid limited the help that went to the red states that border the Mississippi River when that flooded, 8 years ago or something. I'm trying to think exactly when that was. No, I guess it was 2014. So it'd be, 11 years ago. How about the FEMA money that's not getting to those red states, also known as North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee? That didn't get there. It was held back by the Biden administration. They are the ones, the left are the ones that have started the idea of punishing states for the way they vote in the restriction of aid. Oh, man. So, whoopee cushion Goldberg comes out and says, I hope, and this is terrible, I know, but I hope the state of California says, you want to withhold money from us? We're not going to give you any more federal money. And you know what will happen to the small states who California covers because there's so much money coming out of there, meaning here. I'm making sense of something she said, trying to quote her and make sense of it. But she's saying there's so much money coming out of California. California pays for everything for the small states. Whoopee cushion. That is not true. But anyway, why would we not, and maybe should not, cover their deficit for the stupidity? You see, there's nothing that Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, nothing they did wrong with a hurricane. You can't prevent a hurricane. Nothing that the states along the Mississippi did wrong. They had their levees built as high as a levee could be built. But there's a ton of things that California did that causes them to be responsible for the demise of Los Angeles. It was California Democrats that didn't impose the clearing of brush. It's California Democrats that refused to do controlled burns. It's California Democrats that couldn't build reservoirs that voters demanded in a referendum about a decade ago. It's California Democrats that cut the fire department budget. It's California Democrats that spent $20 million on woke crap policies in the fire department. It's Democrats that couldn't ensure that the fire hydrants would pump water. It's California Democrats that couldn't create a power grid that could be shut off in emergency areas. It's California Democrats that couldn't hire firefighters based on merit. Gee, what a concept. Queers, freaks, trannies, oh, they're there. It's California Democrats that couldn't create fire breaks. It's California Democrats that couldn't fix a system that took 45 minutes to get to the fire. It's California Democrats that had gobs of trucks and equipment sitting idle because they didn't have money to fix them. It was California Democrats that somehow couldn't stop Mayor Bass from traveling to Ghana, which delayed the federal response when she had warning of 24 hours in advance that there was going to be a historic wind event. It was California Democrats that did not refuse or could not bury and would not bury the power lines. It was the California Democrats that couldn't fill a reservoir before the Santa Ana winds hit. It's California Democrats that couldn't stop themselves from spending billions a year on illegal aliens, $30 billion, instead of fire prevention and preparedness. My heart goes out to the innocent people. We dealt with that last week. God will take care of those people. But it's also California that has not, no one has seen a Delta smelt fish for nearly a decade, but California has allowed the cities to burn over a fish they can no longer even find. Do not, and why should we, reward stupidity on steroids? Why should the rest of the country pay for Democratic insanity? We should not. I hope probably have bothered some of my California listeners, but you know that what I'm saying is true. And I'd hope and trust and pray that you guys will become part of a giant major turnaround event. Maybe nothing will turn out more Republicans than the LA fire and send Gavin Newsom packing. After all, look how far he stood away from the fires. Why? He didn't want his hair to catch fire. All right, I've said enough. I got to get out of here. God bless you all. Sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.